Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Sustainable Tulsa's first Thursday event series has offered attendees a chance to learn about all facets of sustainability in northeastern Oklahoma. Past talks have focused on topics ranging from the new energy economy and hunger issues to green space or the Monarch Butterfly Initiative. Tomorrow's event at the TCC Center for Creativity in downtown Tulsa will give you a chance to meet Mayor G.T. Bynum's leadership team and what they have in store for the city of Tulsa regarding planning, economic development, and sustainability. They'll be looking at issues ranging from economic development and livability to innovative practices and data utilization to the Vision Tulsa projects and their progress, as well as Planet Tulsa and the regulatory updates, including a focus on land use and transportation connectivity. I'm joined today by Sustainable Tulsa's founder and executive director, Corey Williams. We'll talk about the First Thursday series as well as their sustainability scorecard, where a group of companies around Tulsa have been improving their top and bottom line as well as their sustainability. She joins me today on Studio Tulsa. Corey Williams, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Rich. Appreciate it.
You know, a lot of people look forward to the First Thursday events you've been doing. In fact, they've been growing, and you're now at the TCC Center for Creativity. And tomorrow's program will feature Mayor Bynum's leadership team. And this has been a whole new approach to how the mayor's office approached city government. And it'll be a really interesting chance to see firsthand how these different areas, whether it be economic development, planning, the number crunching, which is going on in the new administration, or the community development and how it's working. Tell us a little about this next First Thursday event.
Yeah, thank you, Rich. We're very excited to have the Mayor Bynum's leadership team with us. They'll be talking about the work that they're doing when it comes to economic development, diversity, health issues, and planning, how it relates to sustainability. And specifically, we'll have Kathy Taylor. She'll be talking about the importance of small business and the housing dilemma in Tulsa, and then Tulsa's role in that economic development. So it'll be a big component of the presentation. And we'll have Nick Doctor. He'll be discussing more of some of those vision projects like the bus rapid transit, especially the Peoria launch timeline and the Arkansas River, and even some of the efforts they're trying to make when it comes to a Healthy Cities grant that they're applying for. So all those kind of things that they're working on with this creative team. And Dawn Warwick, she'll also be talking about their comprehensive plan and what they've been working on when it comes to planning and how that focus on land use, transportation connections, and other kind of zoning issues. And then James Wagner will pull it all together, how they're using that data and how they're interacting with the community, how to use that data and be effective with it when it comes to really what comes down to sustainability, which is people, profit, and planet.
Yeah. And when you think of something like the Vision Tulsa projects, the bus rapid transit on the Peoria line, is this a major step forward for sustainability in the city as far as increasing the amount of access to mass transit?
Yeah, you know, it's been an issue for quite a long time. And Peoria obviously is the route that's the most used and has historically been the most used in our community. I know back when they were working on Planet Tulsa, it was a big conversation how to bring, you know, better public transportation. And at that time, you know, there were challenges and there was creative ideas and what really could hold itself here in Tulsa. So I'm thrilled that this team, and I know NCOG's been involved as well in this process, on how to really take those next steps and make that more accessible and make our city more connected through public transportation. And I think they just recently added the Sunday line, and, yeah, and it was a reminder that we didn't already have that. You know, so I think we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah. So how do, you know, a lot of these issues are all relate in one way or another, whether it's the healthy health initiative that they're putting forward to the quality of life in the city. How does sustainability and quality of life interconnect in your view?
Really, you know, you get down to it. Sustainability was created by people. It's our concept, and so it's rooted in what do people want out of this. And sustainability is simply put is that balance of it's the triple bottom line. It's people, profit, planet, and people is quality of life or social justice. Planet would be environmental stewardship and managing those natural resources. And then, of course, profit would be responsible economic growth. And how we manage those resources and how we The economic development opportunities for the individual in the community directly relate to quality of life, job access, and also health issues.
One of the things that Sustainable Tulsa has been looking at is, you know, I think in a lot of people's minds, when they think of sustainability, they think it is a drain on the bottom line. And your mission has been to show them that it's actually not red numbers on the in the report, but it's black numbers. It actually can make a profit.
We're definitely seeing that with one of our new programs called Scorecard. We just finished a pilot year last year, and we're in our first year. Scorecard is a triple bottom line strategy for the business community, which also can include nonprofits and higher education and government entities. And of our members that have joined and are participating in the program, they're definitely seeing savings. We've had several companies indicate through material management saving upward over $500,000 on how they're managing their resources differently. And sometimes it's just taking that new fresh look. A lot of times the individual that's paying the bills, paying for your water and your electricity, they see there's that's about what we pay every month, and that accountant pays that bill. But the individual that's managing that and seeing it through different eyes, you can really, when you start bringing that team together, you can start actualizing some new savings. And that's what we want to do. We're not trying to make sustainability be something that's going to make everything cost more. What we're doing is being thoughtful. Look at all your resources, human resources, natural resources, economic resources. Put all those together, and how can you save and add higher quality of life?
Now, when you say something like material resources, I think a lot of people's, you know, the eyes glaze over.
Okay.
What are you talking about when you're talking about material resources? Are you talking about recycling? Are you talking about what exactly?
Yeah. In the context of our scorecard, it is reduce, reuse, recycle. It's solid waste and how to be more thoughtful about the resources that you bring in, how to reduce the use of the ones that you have, and then where and how to recycle the ones that are leaving your facility. And that's where we're seeing a lot of savings for several of our manufacturing companies, where they're just discovering lots of new avenues and how to communicate that internally with your team and get them engaged and see that value. Through the years, I think what I've discovered is sustainability is easily half communication. When the city of Tulsa developed their sustainability plan a decade ago, that's what really struck me, is that when you read through that document, half of it really was how to communicate between departments and resource use and communicating that. So you can have great plans, but communicating them are really essential to sustainability.
And tell me a little bit about that communication piece. I mean, is it a matter of distinct strategies about how you use, say, paper in the office, or what exactly?
Well, to share just a story of one of our members that joined our scorecard in the pilot year, they decided one of the things that we require for our pilot members or our members is to benchmark their natural resources. We feel like this is actually a gift to them to sit down and really look at how much they're using and when they're using those resources, for instance, water, solid waste or material management, and energy. And one of our members discovered that they had a leak, a water leak, and so it was just in 24 hours they fixed that valve. And then they also realized they had a communication issue where they were going to stop using so much water for this particular project, but that didn't get fully communicated. So they will realize a $13,000 savings by just fixing that leak and fixing that communication issue. And that's not just $13,000. That's $13,000 times how many years it goes unchecked. And I think that's what we're trying to bring up. The other company that looked at their material management, and they are still realizing those savings. They don't even have that final count. Over $500,000 is where they are right now, times how many years. And what can you do with that? How can that be brought back into your business and your bottom line? And how can that be brought back into quality of life or employee engagement? And that retention factor, which is a big cost for businesses. So it all is interconnected.
So when you're saying like $500,000, I mean, what sort of steps would you take to realize a gain like that?
Right. So first you have to know what you're using, and that's the benchmarking component. It's finding a baseline for yourself and then comparing yourself. The benchmarking component is comparing yourself to other like companies within your industry. mix. And some of that information is available, and some of it is you're just making a baseline depending on your industry.
Right. And so are we talking, is this mainly office use, or is it the actual manufacturing process as well, or both?
It's both. Uh-huh. And so it's discovering that, and then you start looking at, through our scorecard, different steps that you can take and different opportunities to then start cutting back on that resource use where you're not going to impact your manufacturing processes or even your bottom line from the standpoint of your development of that product. But what you're going to do is you're going to cut and make that savings on not being excessive on that use of that resource and be able to implement that back into your business strategy.
So a lot of these sound like really common sense sort of solutions.
Yeah, sometimes we just need to stop, look at it, get the right people around the table, and implement. And, you know, we've all had, you know, diets or some health, you know, something we should eat, shouldn't eat. You know, we all know those things, but sometimes it's really hard to implement. It's finding the time, it's finding the right people on your team, and then implementing it and have some accountability. And, you know, this is a volunteer program that we have, the scorecard program, but we are just hearing, you know, great reviews from teams that it was an opportunity. We had one team where they had a green team and they were going to plant a tree, and that was about all as far as they got, you know. And so we came in, they were a little unsure if we were the right fit for them. They were afraid they weren't sustainable enough. And we clarified, you know, really there's getting started. That's what it's about. And once I started describing those over 153 items that we have in our scorecard, they started leaning in and getting excited and saying, oh, we're doing that one, we're doing that one. Ended up being one of our top performers and in the pilot year, and won a national award for their work. So there's so many opportunities. It's re-looking at yourself, making those steps, prioritizing, and start implementing those. And our scorecard helps to organize that. It's one of the things that we're hearing, and also keeps it recorded, and you have reports to fall back on.
So last year was the pilot program, mm-hmm. and you had some documented successes. What are you hearing for this first full year? Now, how many businesses are actually participating in the scorecard now?
Yes, we have 35 businesses that are in the scorecard participating this year.
And these are large businesses, small businesses?
Small to large.
Or, yeah.
Some with over 1,000 employees to 3 employees. And so it's a wide range. And again, this is, you know, government entities as well as business, nonprofits, higher education, manufacturing. We have all kinds of different types of office buildings as well. And we're just seeing that it's sometimes relooking at yourself from a new lens and trying some new approaches. And that's one of the things that we're offering. And then a network. You are assigned a volunteer coach that's trained on the scorecard and the information within the scorecard, and they help to support you along the way and keep you motivated and or just be that liaison for information that you may not have on your team right now.
My guest today is Corey Williams, Executive Director of Sustainable Tulsa. Sustainable Tulsa's first Thursday lunchtime events continue tomorrow at the TCC Center for Creativity, this time with Mayor Bynum's leadership team, looking at a whole range of sustainability, quality of life issues, everything from economic development and livability to looking at some of the Vision Tulsa projects and how that will affect sustainability and within the city, as well as the data, the new big data that's driving a lot of Tulsa's decisions, as well as the regulatory system. And we can go back to that first Thursday event. You know, we've had Planet Tulsa, which, you know, I think it's hard to see how comprehensive, you know, there's so much ballyhoo about that comprehensive plan and so much citizen engagement, but it's really hard to see how that's implementing on a month-to-month, even a year-to-year basis. Is the comprehensive plan performing the way, say, you as a, I know you were a participant, expected as far as how it's worked in the city? Most time it makes headlines, it's when there's a deviation from that plan.
Mm-hmm. I think being a part of Planet Tulsa, and I think I saw you there,
yeah.
You know, I think what I've learned is it takes a long time to get from the genesis of an idea and implementation, and then renegotiating that implementation. And I think there's definitely been successes. Part of success, and I would, you know, associate it even with Sustainable Tulsa, is education first, and getting people on the same page with the same terminology and understanding potential opportunities with those ideas, and then the implementation. And I've definitely seen some things with Planet Tulsa that's been useful. I think definitely the bus rapid transit program along Peoria is an example of that, but it's also an example of how long it's taken to get to this point.
So, yeah, we're still looking at a couple of years till it's fully implemented.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that was the eye-opening opportunity for me to be a part of that process and realize how long it takes. And then you're going through different administrations and priorities. And so that's why I'm really excited about this new administration. I'm excited about Mayor Bynum and his team, and really their accessibility and interest in making Tulsa a better place to live and work. And, you know, right now we are officing downtown in the Brady District, and I'm loving it. I am loving seeing people out, the engagement. And, you know, I've lived here for a long time and can remember lots of evenings where you could ride your bike downtown and see no one after five. So
yeah, it's right down in the middle of the street.
Right down the middle of the street, right. So this is exciting. And I think it's not, of course, one person or one group or one administration. I think it's a combination of this process. But I'm really thrilled to see what Mayor Bynum's team is doing, and excited to hear more about what they're working on tomorrow.
And you look at just, you know, one of the steps that has come out of, this is also out of the pedestrian bike master plan as well. You look at Cincinnati, North Cincinnati and Detroit, all of a sudden you have these bike lanes. You have cars that appear to be parking in the middle of the street now,
right.
And then the little bike lane off to the right. And all of a sudden, it's just like an overnight transformation, but that's been several years in the works.
Right. And I remember the first time I saw them and I saw the cars parked and, you know, and I've visited other cities to see kind of how they create these bike lanes. And, you know, again, it goes back to communication. A lot to communicate and explain. We're not the most bike-friendly town, so I think there's a lot of communication ahead of us, and there's a lot of advocacy groups around walkability and bike accessibility, and they're all doing great work, and it's exciting to see their efforts starting to pay off.
But when you look at the comprehensive plan, you have to say the downtown areas where you've seen the most sort of where the vision's actually been fulfilled more than any other section of the city, where you have all this mixed-use development, mm-hmm. where you have retail on the bottom, you have housing on top, you have office space on the top, and you're seeing new buildings go up with that design component in place.
Right. And I mean, that makes sense. I mean, you have to start with your core. Your core has to be healthy. And I love to see that we're reinvesting in that. And I think it was the right step to start there with those types of implementations.
Yeah. So back to the scorecard program. Now, you're coming up on the end of your first year. I guess it happens at the end of the summer.
Right.
What sort of feedback are you getting from some of the first-time participants who maybe didn't participate in the pilot program and how they're finding this program is working?
Yes. Well, some are, of course, realizing those savings because of the benchmarking. And I think the benchmarking, again, is that was one of the things we required. And then we ended up partnering with a company that's what they do. They help with the benchmarking efforts. So it goes through our portal to offer that. And, you know, I think just becoming aware of your usage and where you can cut back, I think, has been an important piece. I think also realizing, you know, the scorecard has seven different categories, and that's, you know, communication, community stewardship, water, energy, material management, transportation, and energy. And when you look at those, when you start looking at your whole facility, your whole company, based on those seven different categories, you start seeing different associations. And that's one of the things that we have heard, that the team members are understanding what other departments are doing or how they interconnect. And I think that level of awareness has been a big part of that. And so we're excited to see that. And we'll have results August 31st. We'll have a final event, and we'll be celebrating their successes. And then we'll also be launching our a new entity of the program, which is our coaches. We'll have a certification program for those coaches so that our companies have the highest level coach that we can provide on a volunteer basis.
And will this continue for ongoing years? I mean, will you be signing up more companies to participate?
Definitely. That's ultimately, we want to continue to grow the Tulsa area. We're getting interest outside of Tulsa and frankly outside of Oklahoma for this tool. So we're working on that scalability of our program and what it can offer. So we're really excited to see that businesses are excited about this, that it's serving a value, it's serving a place in their company and helping to mobilize their efforts forward.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the coaching aspect. How important is that in the process? I know you have these B2B initiative things where you have the leaders talking back and forth. Talk about the sort of coaching and mentoring that's a part of this process.
Right. So when we looked at different scorecards across the nation when we started this program, what we discovered, we really honed in on a couple that we really liked. And the one that we liked the most, we saw they had a 24% retention rate their first year, which was low. But we liked the content that they had provided. So we looked into what
so was... So we're a company being a part of it for another year was only about 24%, right?
Well, their first year, they signed people up and only 24% of them
came
continued.
Back. Yeah.
And so why was that? And that's actually the genesis of the coaching program. We thought, you know, sometimes you just need someone to make sure that they want you to be successful. They're there for you. And so being a small nonprofit, we didn't have the staff to make those contacts, so we developed the coaching program, and it's proven to be a successful component of what we're doing. And the coaches are trained on all different components of the scorecard, and some of the coaches coming to us are professionals in their own right. That's their area of expertise, and that was a kind of a surprise that we had such a high caliber of individuals from our community wanting to be these coaches for these companies.
Now, are coaches working at businesses that are already participating in a lot of the programs that are measured by the scorecard, or are they just independent entrepreneurs?
So the coaches that come through our program are matched up with our company. So it's a one-to-one match. Uh-huh. So coach, it's matched. But some of, if I'm understanding your question, some of the coaches, they're engineers or they're working in the community in those areas as engineers or coaches and
there may be a recycler if it's we're talking about a recycling program.
Right. Uh-huh. So they have an area of expertise, but you know, they come in assisting that business on all seven categories within our scorecard.
My guest today is Corey Williams, Executive Director of Sustainable Tulsa. Sustainable Tulsa's first Thursday lunchtime event continues this month, and you've been having all sorts of interesting talks that have been a part of First Thursday. Tomorrow's event will be looking at the leadership team of Mayor Bynum, looking at a whole range of issues concerning sustainability and quality of life in the city. And that takes place tomorrow at noontime at the TCC Center for Creativity at 10th and Boston. But these First Thursday things have been everything from looking at how to end water recycling by basically creating filtering stations where you're using renewable water facilities to the Keystone Ancient Forest, all sorts of what goes into the First Thursday event.
You know, so in the preparation of First Thursday is finding a speaker and a topic that is going to resonate with our members. Our members tend to like to learn about what's new, what's happening in the Tulsa area, and we want to show that range of different topics. It's also incredible networking opportunity. It's probably one of my favorite parts of being a part of Sustainable Tulsa is watching that unfold. You know, people that are meeting each other for the first time, develop a collaboration. I've seen people at First Thursdays get jobs, get sponsors, get volunteers, and start the ideas of projects that start to form there. You know, we started this actually from the very beginning. Sustainable Tulsa has brought people together to talk about sustainability, but over time, it's developed into our First Thursday program. And one of the things we're super excited about is the partnership with TCC. They joined our pilot in the scorecard and also are now part of this program. They started with one campus, and now all four campuses are involved. And their team is really looking at making sustainability really integrated within the classroom and to be a part of their identity. And so their staff, their professors, their students are going to be engaged in this, and it's an opportunity for them to kind of take this back to the classroom. So one of the things that will likely develop over time, having it at TCC, having more space and this connection with our partnership with TCC, is that we'll have these sustainability roundtables that will follow a presentation where you can take a deeper dive and have a smaller group of people really talk about a topic. And this could be utilized in their classrooms and their students to be able to understand sustainability, how complex and how simple it can be at the same time.
Now, before you leave, I have to ask you about, since it's the middle of the summer and the middle of the growing season, your Monarch Initiative. You've been very much involved in the Monarch Initiative to, I guess it's to plant more milkweed and to create better habitat for monarch butterflies. How's that working out?
You know, it's really great. The Monarch Initiative, we're just a member of that initiative. It includes the zoo, the garden center, Nature Conservancy, and you can find that information on our website there under Monarchs. And it, you know, really the purpose of that initiative, we really pull together the education around the habitat loss that we're experiencing and how to develop more habitat. And it's actually an item in our scorecard. we want to keep promoting it. But, you know, I think once we, you know, we had a presenter come and talk about monarchs, and it just kind of exploded to me how
And it came out of one of these First Thursday things?
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Well, not Monarch Initiative Tulsa, but for our engagement. And we're seeing some of our members implement some of these Monarch way stations, and actually American Airlines was just in the news for implementing their Monarch way station, and Sustainable Tulsa was a part of that. And it's just, you know, habitat loss is at an excessive rate, and right now we need to plant milkweed and other types of plants, and there's several different local nurseries that offer those kinds of plants and education. So just plant some milkweed and this summer and get started.
All right. Well, Corey, I guess if people want more information on tomorrow's presentation or any of your presentations that you're doing, sustainabletulsa.org is the website?
It's sustainabletulsainc.org. Join us there and see some of the things we're doing. Join our e-newsletter and get the updates. And we'd love to have the community out. And Rich, before we go, I just want to give a big thank you to you for over the years. I've learned so much from all of your people that have come on and you've interviewed. And you really do an amazing community engagement piece here in Tulsa.
Oh, well,
I'm really
you.
Thankful for the years of getting to be a part of that by listening.
Well, and we appreciate your work at Sustainable Tulsa. You can be a part of First Thursday tomorrow at the TCC Center for Creativity with members of Mayor Bynum's leadership team, learning about what's the latest going on at the City of Tulsa on sustainability. Corey, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Rich.
Corey Williams is the founder and executive director of Sustainable Tulsa. For more information about the scorecard or tomorrow's First Thursday event at the TCC Center for Creativity, which gets underway at noon, featuring members of Mayor G.T. Bynum's leadership team, including Kathy Taylor, James Wagner, Nick Doctor, and Don Warwick, visit their website at sustainabletulsainc.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.